I'm Ken Hemmings, and he is Chris Lang, and welcome to another of these regular property briefings. Again, a warm welcome to you, Chris.
It's always a delight to be with you.
A few weeks ago, when you talked about your stealth marketing process, you explained some of the fundamental principles involved in direct marketing. Would you mind just recapping on those before getting into the specifics of what I would like to explore today?
Well, to properly answer your question, we need to first step back a bit in time and back to the period when the internet or the World Wide Web, as most people know it, first moved from academic into commercial use. And that's before we had access to emails. And direct marketing used to occur with carefully crafted letters, and then before we had emails, it moved into faxes. Now, whether it's a letter or a fax, it costs money, unlike emails. And therefore, the salespeople of the day had to make every word count when they wrote those letters, because there was a cost of the typing, the letterhead, the envelopes, and as well as the postage. Faxing is a little bit different. It's the typing and the letterhead, and then you fax it, but it was still the cost of a phone call. So it meant that you needed to be very careful in the way you worded and spend a lot of time putting it together. Now, you've got to understand that that was nearly 20 years ago, in the mid-90s, when the World Wide Web came on the scene. So there are a lot of people well-established in sales positions today that have only ever really known email as a fast means of communication. Sure, you write letters, but if you want to sell something, for want of a better word, in many cases, what you will do is fire off an email, which costs you nothing. And when I'm talking, in many cases, in a broadcast sense, as opposed to writing a personal one-on-one letter. So the principles that were honed back in the 70s and 80s, and probably before that, but let's stick to the 70s and 80s, of direct marketing or direct mail, meant that you had to understand the psychology of how to reach someone, how to motivate them, how to move them from reading your initial piece of material to moving forward to the point where you could actually initiate the sales process, whether that was still in written form or it became face-to-face. So there were some fundamental principles, and it really came down to a three-step process. And the psychology of it was, and I say to people today, technology's fine, and I use technology with stealth marketing. It's all about using the very latest internet IT technology to solve the problem. But if you don't get the psychology right, all you're going to do with the technology is make the same mistakes 20, 30, 40 times as fast. So first you get the psychology right, then you move on to the technology. So going back to the psychology of direct marketing, it was a simple graduation process. If you could get someone to read the first 50 words, they would then go on to read the next 500. And then surprisingly, the next leap was they would go on and read the next 5,000. Now, when we're talking about marketing today for commercial property, your brochure and your board and the advertisement are effectively the first 50 words. They are the gateway to the next stage. And with stealth marketing, that is effectively the landing page for the property being marketed of the website. And on that page, it's a story. It leads on from the advertisement, the board or the brochure. But unlike in as you look at most sales material, those first three things, the board, the brochure, and the advertisement, all try and make the sale. That's not the purpose of those. The purpose of those is to arrest the attention of your reader, give them enough information to compel them to take the next stage, and that is to go to the landing page for the website, where you have embellished the information. You have room. It's a low-cost mechanism to explain what the next stage is, what more information is available. And that's the next 500 words. So you have the 50 is the ad, the board, or the brochure. The 500 words in the direct marketing psychology is the landing page on the website. And at that point, they then choose to move on to the next 5,000. And not everyone will do that. But the market you're after, you've arrested their attention, you've given them the basic information, a bit like a cereal, you give them enough and then hold out that there's more. But to obtain the more, the next 5,000 words, they have to leave their first name, last name, email address, and daytime phone number. And there's an exchange process going on. It's called the law of reciprocity. In other words, you have information I want, this is the purchaser, and to receive that in return, I will give you the information you want, my contact details. So if you have captured their interest or piqued their interest, compelled them because of that to go to the landing page is vibrant and informative enough that, yes, this is the property I want to pursue. They willingly provide you with that information because they want to get access to the rest of the website because there's a hell of a lot of information on it. As I said, all I've done with stealth marketing is to take fundamental principles that have stood the test of time over decades and applied them using the very latest technology.
Thank you for that. And you mentioned that the advertisement, the board, and the brochure all need to be viewed as merely gateways to the website, which provides prospective purchasers with the next two steps. But presumably, if you don't capture their attention at this first point of contact, you've clearly missed your opportunity. So would you like to explain the secret to doing that?
Yeah, you're right. With the ad, the brochure, and the board, you have to stop them in their tracks. It's called pattern interrupt. You have to provide them with a compelling reason to take the next step, which they then take because they choose to take it, not because you force them to. The first step is you've got to force them to stop what they're doing. If they're reading the newspaper, your ad draws their attention. If they're opening the mail, the brochure, when they open it, has to grab their attention. And likewise, the board if they're walking down the street or driving down the street. So obviously the headline is crucial. Now, whether it is for the ad, the brochure, or the board, ineffectively, it's the ad for the ad. And rated by importance, the headline represents 80% of the advertisement. Now, unfortunately, most selling agents seem to rush off a cute headline, which generally is compiled as a clever play on words. Or worse still, some of them will leave it to their advertising agency to write the entire advertisement, including the headline and the brochure or the ad. Now, you can't do that. I mean, that if you don't get the people at that first point, you're wasting the rest of your advertising. And so sometimes I will sit down, depending on the size and nature of the property, and I could come up with 15 to 20 different headlines before I actually settle upon the one that I intend to run with. And I'll generally do that after I have written the body copy for the advertisement or the brochure. And the reason for that is that when you're writing the body copy, you have to go through the thought process. You have to provide the benefits. And really, what your headline does is encapsulate the single greatest benefit or single greatest promise that the property has to offer the buyer, whether it's an owner-occupier or an investor. And in that way, you compel your prospective buyers to visit the website and embark on the next two steps. Now, as I said, the body copy doesn't have to tell the whole story about the property, as most agents seem to think it does. All it has to do is merely expand upon the headline's key promise and to reinforce the prospect's decision to take the next step. Now, they don't realise it's a three-step process, but it's not possible unless it, except for low-ticket items, and we're not talking property here, we're talking simple one-off purchase, it's not possible to convince and sell someone in the first encounter. And so the sole purpose of the ad, the brochure and the board is to grab their attention, give them enough information to know the property is of interest, and then move them and make it easy for them to move to the second step, which is to go to the landing page of the website.
You talked about how important the headline for the ad is, and presumably it's the same for the board and the brochure. How do you settle upon which actual wording works and which doesn't?
Well, it's interesting because it's not just the actual wording of the headline that you have to consider. You also need to focus upon things like font, the punctuation, and even the colour of the headline. Now, the best fonts for your headline are Arial, Helvetica, or Tahoma. And they're what's called a sans serif font. In other words, they're very straight as opposed to flourishy and curly. Now, where possible, they should be at least 30 pixels in size. And that's an advertising term of size, but it's probably, we're talking about 18 to 20 points if we're talking on a word processor. Plus, you need to capitalize the first letter of every word within the headline for best results. However, let me give you a few little known tweaks which may or will actually dramatically improve your response rates from the headlines used in these opening pieces of communication with your audience. The first one is, if you place inverted commas at the start and end of your headline, in other words, turn it into a quote by someone, you can improve your response rate by around 17%. Now, if you go a bit further and you pose your headline as a question, your response rate can improve by up to around 21%, mainly because it arouses curiosity to find out more. As soon as you pose a question, it's open-ended. The person reading it needs to find an answer. So they read further. They read on further into the advertisement. And it seems to, the best two curiosity lines would begin with how to or who else wants. They can improve your response rate by around 44% overall. So, you know, it up to that sort of level, and it's extraordinary. And perhaps let me give you a quick example for commercial property. The headline might be, who else wants to secure a brand new 10-year lease? Or who else wants the security of a brand new 10-year lease? And you put that in quotes and a question mark at the end. And when you read that and you're in the market for a commercial property, it immediately revokes the response, I do, from the prospective buyers. Now, they don't say it aloud, but mentally that's what they say. That's exactly what I'm looking for if they're in the market. And they're the ones you want to attract. They're the ones you want to stop from reading any further and to read your ad are the ones that at that very moment are looking for a secure long-term investment. And that compels them to move to the next step in order to find out more. And I also mentioned the importance of colour. Now, by adopting a specific tone of red for your headline, you can actually improve your response rate by up to 34% over plain black or any other fancy colours that advertising agencies end up suggesting for your headline. It's never about colour coordination so as to make the advertising or your brochure look good. It's simply about sticking to what works. And these are tried and tested things that have been done over time.
Extraordinary. How do you know all this stuff?
Look, it might seem like magic, but basically you need to understand and undertake what's called A-B or split testing. And with the internet today, you're able to very quickly test and compare the various alternatives. Unlike back when I was involved with direct marketing with mailing out, it wasn't until you mailed it out and then a week later started to get response rates and then you'd have to check and change the title. And it was costly and time-consuming. But what you do is you choose a base level, base standard or control piece, and then you change one thing and only one thing. You might either change a specific word, the font, the size of the font, the colour, and you test that against your control item. Now, what happens then? Well, if you find that the changed version performs better, that then becomes your control, and you keep testing and testing. Now, unfortunately for us in Australia, the traffic volumes are relatively small on websites compared to overseas, unless, of course, you're Telstra or a TV station. And therefore, what I do is I subscribe to a publication of split testing results conducted in the UK, US, and Canada, which focuses upon 43 specific items. So, as you can see, it's really not magic. I mean, rather, it's a simple statistical approach of trial and error. And the idea is simply to discover the best combination and then to simply stick to that until you come across something that performs even better. And as I said, that then becomes your control that you move forward on. So it's not rocket science. It's arithmetic. That's all web marketing is psychology and arithmetic. And the reason I call it stealth marketing is because it all happens under the radar. I mean, now I've told you some of the secrets behind what goes on, you can start to look and examine advertising material in a totally different light. You can see who understands the concept of the three-step process or who is really trying to make the big sale up front in the ad. And the problem is that people get bored and you have to give it to them in bite-sized chunks. And the chunks, as I said, get bigger the more interested they become because they are the ones then choosing to consume the information. And so if you don't want to dump everything in their lap first up, because by doing that, you run the risk of losing their interest. It's information overload. They've got enough information as it is. They simply need to know or have their interest peaked to the point where they want to take the next step and then they want to know everything that you can tell them about the property. And that's the real secret.
Well, I certainly wasn't expecting this when we began today. And I'm sure that most of our listeners had no idea of the depth of research going on into what they see and read every day.
Well, Ken, you probably heard me say that I don't make the rules. I just simply find out what they are and then try to help clients use them to their advantage.
That's great. And I really appreciate the insights you've been able to give us today.